Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome John Lamb and Nina Cometh.
Good morning, Build. How are you guys doing? You having a good time so far? Was that a great keynote or what? Well, thanks for coming to the session. I know a lot of you guys had to travel a long way to kind of get here to be with us today. We also have this live streaming audience that's kind of joining us live with us as well. I thought that to celebrate the fact that we all came from our homes, I wanted to show you guys some pictures of our home. As we click on the thing, oh, there it goes. It just took a while. So here's some pictures of our home. We've been busy working away for the past year, going off and building Windows 8.1 that we are unveiling to you guys today. And what we're going to spend a lot of time in this talk talking about are the set of new APIs that are available for you guys to call. So a lot less time on the features themselves and a lot more time on the APIs. So these are some of our buildings. Here's some of the people, right, that work as... Our work is really sitting in front of machines, right? That's not very interesting. So we thought we'd show you some pictures of people walking around the halls and meetings, all happy, some of our morale events, our dog, and some of the games. But what you're really all here to see is our APIs, right? So we built on top of this great foundation of APIs in Windows 8. So here is just a representative boxology diagram of some of the APIs and the areas of functionality that we covered in Windows 8. In Windows 8.1, we spent a lot of time improving our investments in this area. So what we have here is a lot of extensive improvements. So for example, in the XAML APIs, things have gotten significantly faster. We've done a lot of performance work inside of XAML, which is going to be great to have fast and fluid APIs, especially on low power devices. On top of that, we've also added a whole raft of new APIs to the platform as well. So one I like to call out is the HTTP API. You know what you're saying, but John, wait a second, we've always been able to speak HTTP. What we have is a WinRT HTTP API, which uses a unified networking stack and a unified caching platform underneath. What that means is that all Windows Store applications that run on Windows 8.1 are going to share all of this infrastructure, and all of the languages are going to be able to use this. And what's even better about this HTTP API is the fact that it's modeled after the HTTP client API that you already know and love inside of .NET. So we're going to see that thing inside of this talk as well. And then one other thing that I want to call out is the fact that while we certainly think about WinRT as being this great set of APIs that we use for our Windows Store applications, WinRT APIs can also be called from desktop applications. So this is just a representative sample of some of the APIs you can call from the desktop. Probably one that you're really familiar with is the Notifications API, where you can certainly pop Toast both from a desktop app as well as from a Windows Store app. So what about the talk, right? The talk that we're going to show you today really shows you 9 things about Windows 8.1. And we're going to do this talk a little bit differently than perhaps you're used to. We're going to do this in the form of kind of 9-act play. We're going to kind of show you interesting little things at each point. And at the beginning of each act, we're going to show you what we're going to show you. And then we're going to spend a bunch of time walking through a pre-built solution as well. So with a pre-built solution, we're going to step through some code because we've got an awful lot of code in this in this talk today. So we're going to show you some highlights of the code, but rest assured you're going to be able to see all the code yourself by downloading it after the session. Now, just to keep things straightforward, you know, as you all know, WinRT is an API that can be used across all of our programming languages. What we're going to be showing you today is C# XAML, right? But certainly all of the things that we are showing you, all of the APIs are absolutely callable from JavaScript and C++ as well, right? But again, just to keep the transitions to the minimum, we're going to focus exclusively on C# XAML inside of this talk. Now, now what we have is the orange boxes that you see up here are going to be the areas that we're going to touch upon. So as you might imagine, in a 9-act play, which kind of follow some kind of a story, we can't actually show you every single API, all 4,501 new APIs that we have inside of Windows 8.1. So instead, we're going to show you a representative sample, and we're going to spend a whole bunch of time as we summarize each one of the acts, forward referencing all of the other sessions that you go on to find out about all the other green stuff that's on this slide. My name's John Lamb. I work on the Windows engineering team. This is probably the most ambitious talk that I've ever tried to pull off, right? And you're going to see a lot of this stuff in here. It's such an ambitious talk that I've had to pull in the big guns and bring in Nina here to help me in this endeavor.
So, hi everyone, I'm Nina. So in Redmond, I'm actually working for John, he's my boss. Here in this play, however, I'll be bossing around John, so this is going to be a lot of fun today. So with that, why don't we get started, John?
Great. So the theme, you might be wondering why we have that, right? We have a lemonade stand sitting on the stage, right? So this is kind of the prop around which we're going to build the app that we're going to show you in the nine acts. So obviously we work in Windows, right? We figured the next big thing, right, is franchised lemonade stands powered by Windows 8.1. Right, so we're going to go off and build this app live for you on stage.
And we're Microsoft employees. That's our full-time job, but this is our startup that's going to make it big.
Yeah, that's it. That's our retirement package. Okay, let's go.
Why did the PowerPoint die?
Off we go. So, what do you think of our lemonade stand, Nina?
John, this is looking good. The builders did a great job. But you know what? We're Microsoft employees. We need to make an app for our startup.
Okay, so what should this app look like?
All right, let's check out the Bing News app, John.
Sure.
So, you see how this has a hero image, different sections with different content? Keep scrolling. If you see this section over here, it has a thumbnail and some image and some descriptions. This is kind of what I want with our app. I want our customers to be able to see our menu.
Great. So I think we can do this. One of the cool things we have in Windows 8.1 is a new set of templates I can use in Visual Studio. So what I'll do is I'll switch back to Visual Studio 2013, and let's go off and create a brand new project. And in this case, we're going to make a hub app in XAML. So we go off and say, OK, let the wizard run.
It's doing its magic.
Yep. Thinking, done. And we go off and run the app. What you now see is almost the same thing, right? So we have a lovely gray square here instead of the picture that we had inside of Bing. But we have a bunch of different sections, much like what we saw before inside of the Bing News app. And much like in the Bing News app, some of these sections are clickable headings in there as well. So all of this is done for you. All of this is data bound to a bunch of stuff in the background. Really, the way we like you to think about building Windows 8.1 APIs, these kinds of apps or using the hub control, is think about it as a control for allowing you to organize heterogeneous UI elements and kind of tie them together into a page. So why don't we see that?
Yeah, that looks great, but I want our app to have some beautiful images.
Sure. I think I can do that, too. So hang on. Why don't we switch over to the solution for the app? We've got some lovely icons. So this is, a real simple menu, right? So you can imagine that rather than having this menu that we have up front here written as a chalkboard, we can have this kind of interactive menu that people can just walk up to and touch and interact with on the display.
That's cool.
So why don't we see, what we had to do here. One of the cool things that we have inside of the tool is a bunch of new improvements that we've made inside of the XAML designer. So let's drag this thing over sideways here so we can kind of see the split view here. And remember we have this section thing, and as I click on each one of the sections, it's going to go off and bring the selected section back into view here. Now, one of the really cool performance improvements that we've seen that the XAML team has done is that it now lazy loads lots of different elements on the page. Right? So a lot of the things, you might be wondering, I've got a hub section here, so for the folks that know XAML in the crowd, you might be wondering, why do I have a data template in here when this data template is just really just holding a list view control? I'm not data binding the hub, right? I've just got a list view sitting inside. What I have here is, what the XAML team has done is, none of the controls inside of a hub section will initialize until the hub section scrolls into view. Right? So if I have an awful lot of things all staged out, it's not until it swipes into view that it gets initialized. So what I need to do is come over here and click on the loaded event here. That takes me to the event handler. So when the control itself gets loaded, it gets sent to me, the loaded event fires, and I can do all of my initialization load my data source, and go off and bind my data source to the list view that I have there. All right, so that's what we have here. Back
that's
to you, Nina.
Awesome. Great. So we just learned about the new hub control. The hub control is a great control when you have heterogeneous data. When you don't want to manage multiple list views, we have this for you, and it's right in Visual Studio as a template. There's a lot more new in the control space, however. First, my friend Tim is going to talk about what's new in XAML. This includes the new date picker, time picker, the new flyout, and more. My friend Paul is going to talk about what's new in WinJS. This includes the new item control, navbar, web view, and more. And John Gordner is going to talk about the new search control in Windows 8.1. For us, let's move on to the next act.
Great. So what's next, Nina? What do we need?
So John, the one thing I'm disappointed by is how small our screen is, how small our menu is. I want our customers to be able to see a big menu. So I bought you a present, John. Ta-da! This is your big screen.
So much bigger screen.
What I'd like you to do, John, is use the new feature in Windows 8.1 where you can project onto this screen a different view of your app just for your customers.
Fantastic. I can do that. One of the greatest ways for you to go off and learn about how to go off and use the new features that we have in Windows 8.1 is to go look at our samples. And what we've done already ahead of time is loaded up one of our samples. This is the projection view sample that you'll be able to download today. And when I go off and I run the projection view, you'll see here that this is our kind of standard UI template. What I haven't done yet is extended my screen so that you can now see what's happening on this monitor over here. So I'm going to swipe it. Oops. I'm going to bring up the projection view, select extend here. And now I can go off and click on the start resume projection, and you'll see the other view show up on the external monitor. All right, so it's really straightforward to go off and grab a chunk of code that you can use to take a view that you used to project on the monitor that faces you and go off and move it onto the other monitor. All right, so let's see what this looks like inside of our app.
Great.
So what we need to do now is come back and go back to duplicate mode first. Shut this guy down, and let's go off and look at the solution for the second act. So when we run this guy, initially there's this new set of UI that's here. This is what I'm going to call the employee screen, right? So the employee gets to see a certain view of the lemonade stand. And we're going to be able to project the custom customer menu out to this external monitor. So again, let me go off and extend right to the other monitor. And after I extend it, I've already written some UI down here, the show menu UI down here. Click on that button, and you'll go off and see the same menu that we had before showing up on the other screen. All right, so it's pretty cool, right? We can now have apps that can span multiple monitors, PowerPoint-like things, and other things you can imagine yourselves. Cool. So let's go back to duplicate mode, and let me show you what I had to do to make this work. So coming back into the app, let's go into the XAML first. And as you saw before, we have this app bar button. And the app bar button down here is the show menu button. And so you can see here there's a show menu click handler that we have there. So let's click on that. That takes us into the code. So inside of here, what we can see is we're doing a few things here. The first thing that we're doing is checking to see whether or not I have an external monitor or an extended display available. If that turns out to be OK, this is the new thing that we're going to show you for Windows 8.1. Whereas in Windows 8, your Windows Store apps could have exactly one window, in Windows 8.1, we can create multiple windows. Right? So this is a new API that we have here, right, where we can go off and create ourselves a brand new core window. Now, that core window that we create is going to be running on his own UI thread. Right? So because he's doing that, we need to marshal our initialization code over to the other UI thread as well, right? So this is what the code that where we walk up to the dispatcher called run async, and we pass in a delegate which contains a bunch of initialization code that we're going to run on the other side. The last thing I want to call out here is the fact that we're going to go off and create this thing called a view lifetime control. So as you know, your existing Windows 8 apps have to interact with this operating system service called the PLM, or the Process Lifecycle Manager. So as you can imagine, there's different things that are going to be happening to your views based on whether or not the window is displayed to the user or whether or not the user has the view sitting on their back stack. Right? So what this class does, and it's taken verbatim out of the sample, is it helps you manage the lifetimes of all of the child windows that you've created inside of your app as well. Right, so all this stuff is available inside the sample. I suggest you go take a look at that code in a little bit more detail. Cool. Thank you. Back to you, Nina.
Awesome. So we just learned about new views in Windows 8.1. Our motto here is any size, any screen. So by any size, it was just like you saw Julie run in the keynote, where you can have 2, 3, 4 instances of your mail app. By any screen, we mean something like PowerPoint or what we did here, your notes view on one screen and your presentation view on the other. Sarah will be giving a talk about this later. Now, the other thing we talked about were the SDK samples. If you don't know how to do any of this code, you're lazy, you want to go copy-paste code from somewhere, you want to figure this out, go to the Dev Center. The Dev Center, first of all, has Windows 8.1 available for download. It has a new feature guide that will walk you through all of our new features, and it has SDK samples for all of our APIs. Let's go see what's next. So, John, what I would really like is an electronic cash register. Imagine this experience. I want my customers to come up to us and not have to give us orders on pieces of paper. I want them to be able to tap on our app and order what they want.
Great. I've already done that, as it turns out, right? So let's take a look at the thing that we've built that kind of shows off this experience. So when we take a look at it, here's what the employee is going to see on their screen, right? They're going to see there's a number of different items that they can order. When they tap on an item, we're going to go off and start generating the receipt over here on the right-hand side. What we're doing here is, as you might imagine, I have an event handler hooked up to the list view control. And over on the right-hand side, the thing that's holding the receipt, that thing is a web view control. So we're going to generate some HTML that represents our invoice, inject it into the control for it to be rendered. One of the really nice things about rendering things as HTML is the fact that, hey, I can just take this thing, I can print it, I can take it, I can send it to someone in an email message. Right? So there's an awful lot of really useful things that we can do once we have it in that format.
OK, John. This is looking really good, but can I see the code?
Sure. Why don't we switch back into here so we can see what we had to do. So it turns out it's pretty simple. Let me go back here and scroll down. Ah, there we go. So inside of the list view that we have here, we have this event handler that fires when the user taps or when the employee taps on the item. So when I hit F12 to go navigate to the code here, you can see exactly the same things, right? We're going to look up the object that was data bound to that entry in the list view that we just tapped on. Once we've got that item, we're going to construct a new line item. I've got a little helper class, this invoice class, whose job is to hold on to all my line items. And once I have that, I can go off and tell the invoice, hey, go generate an HTML representation of yourself. And then I'm going to go off and pass it off to the web view control.
OK. That code looks all right. I just want to make one complaint. In Windows 8, whenever I'd swipe the settings flyout over a web view, it would be pretty unhappy, and the web view would think it's more important.
Well,
I didn't
fair.
Like that.
Right. So as it turns out, right, we've actually fixed this inside of Windows 8.1. So if we kind of go back here, let's click on a couple of items on the thing. And remember this experience, I'm going to go off and bring my setouts. So there's a web view there, HTML content, fully composited with the XAML stuff that we see there as well. Woohoo. Back to you, Nina.
Awesome, John. I'm glad we've changed that. So the new web view control, it's fully integrated into the visual display tree, as we just found out. And in addition, it's integrated with Smart Screen. So we now protect your users from malicious attacks. Now, John Hazen will be talking a lot more about the web view in his talk. Remember, the web view is now available for both XAML and HTML developers. Yes, HTML.
Cool. So what's next?
John, that was great. You know what was missing? Now I want to be able to pay with credit card. I don't carry cash. The the cool kids don't carry cash, credit cards.
Okay, well, as it turns out, I was at the store the other day and happened to pick up one of these guys. And what this is it's a standard off-the-shelf USB magnetic stripe reader. Plugs in a USB port inside my Surface Pro here, right, and it just works great. So what we can do now is let's go to the app and see what the experience would look like with having somebody just check out by swiping a credit card. So just like we did before, we're going to tap on a couple of these guys here to get some entries. And now down here at the bottom, I have this little checkout button. When I tap on the checkout button, what you'll see here is that it's a little bit hard for you guys to see, but the little green light just turned on to say, hey, things are now working. I can take my credit card, swipe it through here, and you'll notice that the receipt has gone off, read the data. You can see my name there. Last four digits of my number.
Yep. Got it, 2002.
Right, so really super simple, right? So why don't we take a look at, you know, the code that we had to write in order to enable this. So we come back into here. As you saw, all of the interesting stuff happened inside of that app bar button, inside of this checkout thing. So let's go back here and let's F12 to get to the checkout click function. When we're inside of the checkout click function, we have a simple function, scan this card. Now, as you might imagine, this credit card reader that we have here is a shared device, and Windows is capable of, you know, having multiple applications running at the same time that all are going to be sharing the same hardware. So before you can go off and use your credit card reader, you first need to claim or say, hey, this is mine, right? The app lays a claim to it. So this is what the first chunk of code here goes off and does and hands us back what we're calling a claimed reader. Once I have the claimed reader, I also want to make sure that some other app doesn't, behind my back, swipe away and steal my reader out from underneath me. So what I have the ability to do is register for an event when some other app on the system is asking for the reader and say, I want to keep on holding on to this thing because I'm not done yet. Right? So for the duration of this thing, we're going to hang on to this reader. Once we're done with that, turn on the decoding thing, and we're going to say, hey, when the user swipes the credit card and you've got some data ready for me to receive, please go off and call my event handler here. Right? So this is the bank data receive function, which is just below. And you see this is just a very straightforward function. It gets called back on a worker thread though. Right? So it gets called on a worker thread. It's going to pass me the data that I need. And you can see here that I'm just pulling it out of the args here, right? The data including the account number and my name. But now, since I'm working on that worker thread, just like we saw in the other example, I need to now marshal the code back to the UI thread, say, hey, you know, go off and call this on the UI thread, and then do my last little bit here, right? So remember, generate the HTML that shows the final thing inside of the invoice, and then navigate to complete the operation. Make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Cool.
So we just learned about the magnetic stripe reader, which is awesome because it allows us to use a USB port to plug in a credit card reader and make sales transactions. We also support in Windows 8.1 the barcode scanner, and this makes up our point of service APIs. Our point of service APIs are available for a mom and pop shop that's just starting out and buying a USB card reader on Amazon, or for a large retailer that wants to enable their sales force to make transactions on the retail floor. And Mike Hall will be talking more about this in his talk, so definitely check that out. Let's move on to Act 5.
So what next?
So John, it's time for us to be a 24-hour shop. These days, 9 to 5 doesn't cut it. I need people to be able to get their midnight fix of lemonade here.
But how are they going to find the lemonade stand? What do you, like?
So, John, I got some lights installed.
Whoa.
Up in our lemonade stand. They're Philips Hue lights. I need you to write the code to talk to them.
I think I can do that, right? Because what's kind of cool about what we have here with the lights is the fact that these lights are controlled wirelessly, right? So there are a bunch of LED light bulbs that are sitting up here, and we've got a controller sitting underneath the stage. And what the controller is plugged in Ethernet, and we can go off and talk to this thing using HTTP. Right? So let's see what we can do to kind of control these lights. Actually, let me switch over here, back to the app. And so we run back to the app, and we swipe up. We can see here that we have the show lights button. And we can tap on that. We can go, ooh, we see a bunch of blinky lights happening up here, right?
That's
so
cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So let's see what we had to do to go make that happen. One of the really interesting things about what we've done inside of the HTTP APIs in Windows 8.1 is make it as close as possible to the existing .NET HTTP client APIs. So what we're going to see is this. This is an existing .NET application, right? You don't see any Windows dot anything inside of here. So what this application does is it goes off and talks using HTTP using the existing HTTP client APIs. So if I go look in here, this is the kind of interesting part. This is where I create a new instance of an HTTP client, just so you guys make sure this is the .NET HTTP client class that we're looking at. And then what we do is we create a JSON object, right? So the JSON object contains the message that we want to send to the device. And down here, we're going to go off and generate a put call, right? An HTTP put request to the device, passing in the stringified JSON object that is encoded as UTF-8. Right, so that's what this app does, right? Kind of in a nutshell.
So, John, it's great that you've written this in .NET, but I need a WinRT solution.
Yeah, I got that for you, too.
Okay.
Right, so let's flip over to the other app. So what you'll see here is I've got this new namespace in this app, windows.web.http. Right? And if we go scroll down through here, you will find that inside, this is the same code, right, that we saw before. So this line is identical. We're just newing up an HTTP client class. The using is taking care of the different namespace that we have. And down here, whereas this thing was a string content before, this is an HTTP string content to avoid some name collisions that we had. And then finally, we just have the a little bit more strict naming conventions, right, inside of Windows 8.1, where this is UTF-8 with a first thing capitalized, right? So a very small set of changes. But what do you get for making these three changes? You get access to this unified caching infrastructure that we have and this unified HTTP client stack that we have in Windows 8.1. So you're sharing the same cache as Internet Explorer and all the other apps that are running on Windows 8.1. You're going to get some really interesting benefits out of this. One of the cool features that Matt Mary is going to be talking about later on in this in the conference is how we can prefetch a bunch of content and populate the cache for you ahead of time. Right? So none of your code ever has to change. You're just going to off make the same HTTP request that you ever did before, but now you're going to get the your apps are going to start up faster because the content is already prefetched and sitting inside your cache. So lots of cool benefits for making three little changes, right, to your code.
That's cool, John. Great job with the lights there.
Thanks.
So we just heard two reasons to use the new HTTP client APIs. One, it is now the same across JavaScript, C# and C++ in WinRT. And two, there's a shared client cache between all of your apps and the browser. Peter will give you the rest of the reasons when you go to his talk. If you also want to see how this shared client cache can make your apps faster, go to Matt and Suhail's talk, which is called Building Great Service-Connected Apps. Let's see what's next for our lemonade stand. John, that's awesome, but lights aren't enough. We need something more to attract our customers, something beyond lights.
Well, you know, Nina, when I was just kind of wandering around at Best Buy the other day, I happened to buy one of these things, right? This is a Sphero ball. And the cool thing about the Sphero ball is you can control this thing wirelessly using Bluetooth. Now, one of the cool things that we did in Windows 8.1 was add programmable Bluetooth support using our existing socket and stream APIs inside of the operating system. So what we're going to show you now is we're going to wake up this guy here, right, as he wakes up.
He's blinking.
And we're going to go pair him with the device, right? So imagine we just got this guy, and we can swipe on over here. Actually, let's just go to the start screen, type in Bluetooth. You see, oh, we already paired him before, but let's remove him. Let's pair him again. This is where it gets very exciting for the presenters.
We just want to make sure we have the right Sphero. Many of these little guys rolling around at build, watch for them.
Can we shake him again? Make sure he's really awake. Thinking.
He's awake.
Let's try this again. Oops. It can't find him. Okay, so moving along, right? What we would have seen, and this was such a cool thing, right? I am so bummed out that this thing didn't work.
I think we should try one more thing, John, before we give up.
But before we get there, let's talk about what we should have shown them, right? So what would have happened here is we spent all this time, right? We spent a bunch of time. In fact, Nina spent a bunch of time, right, with C++. And this is what would have happened. I would have taken this ball, he would have been rolling around on stage, right? And he would have gone shooting off the edge. And when he shot off the edge, you would have heard this kind of disembodied voice go, ouch, right? And so what we have is this thing will send events and packets and notifications back to the PC, right? And we're going to fire a WinRT event that we've registered to receive a collision detection notification off of this thing. And we're going to go off and generate a little bit of text-to-speech stuff happening, right? So why don't we go off and see what we can do there to show you the code, right? So what we had there was we're just going to go off and enumerate the existing Bluetooth devices, and we're going to go off and find the spherical ball. Once I have a reference to the spherical ball, what I'm going to next do is I'm going to call this helper library that we've written as well. And what this helper library is it's written in C++. It's a WinRT component. And let me show you the implementation of this. And so what we have here is this is just using a bunch of existing stream APIs and socket APIs that we have inside of Windows 8 that we introduced in Windows 8 to go off and programmatically talk to our Sphero device. All right, so once we have that, let's go back here to our code. And we're going to send a Sphero a bunch of commands, have it run around and roll around on the ground and all that kind of stuff. A couple of things we do, we have this kind of fun chunk of code here that says initialize a speech synthesizer where we can find the right voice. As it turns out, we ship with three built-in voices out of the box in Windows 8.1 that have accents. We're going to configure our collision detection parameters, and we're going to register an event here. So when we look at the event handler for this, we have this one line of code, right, which just speaks and says, ouch. Right? Let's see what the implementation of speak has to do. We've pre-cached and created a speech synthesizer already. All right, so the speech synthesizer is in the voice that we want. So this is an English-speaking female voice, which is awesome. We're going to say, hey, go synthesize this to a stream. So this is really kind of cool, right? It's kind of modular here, right? I could even go off and say, ouch, and send Nina an email, right, containing the WAV file of the ouch, if that's what I wanted to do. So we kind of busted this up into two sections. Let's go off and do the speech synthesis. And now let's go off and play it back on the UI thread again, right, because this was called on a background worker thread, and say, hey, let's go off and play this using this media element. Right, so it's really kind of straightforward and simple.
Try it again.
But you know what? Was it working out?
Let's try it again.
Okay.
We're just going to give this one more shot because we really want to show you this demo.
Okay.
Go to Bluetooth, try to pair them.
All right. Oh, should I pair them first?
Pair them first.
Okay. Nah.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. No.
You guys are having a hard time seeing the ball. He's pretty small.
You know what we're going to do? We couldn't show you the small ball. We have something better. Forget that demo. We're going to show you something bigger and better.
So you can actually see it. Woohoo!
Oh, okay, he's heavier than me, so we're going to push him right here and stop him.
That was awesome. So this is a really big ball, right, Lynn? So tell us about the ball.
So, John, this is the peacekeeper. He is the giant of the spheros and doesn't like staying still. And he's run with the Bluetooth APIs just like little Sphero. So we've got some orbotics guys back there controlling him with the Bluetooth APIs. And this guy, he's 100 times bigger than little Sphero. He's 120 pounds, so heavier than me, and he can go 25 miles an hour. So we are keeping him calm right now. And if you want to check him out, by the way, he's going to be in the expo hall for the next few days with Orbotix. And Orbotix also today released their Windows SDK if you want to write code for him or any of his little friends. So we just learned about the Bluetooth APIs. The Bluetooth APIs are in the set of protocol-based devices that we now support in Windows 8.1. We have native support for these right through Windows runtime. No drivers necessary. Dean and George will talk more about this. They'll cover everything from robots, data sensors, fitness devices, etc. And if you want to see more of Sphero, Elik will talk about Sphero in his talk. We also would have heard the text-to-speech APIs in Windows 8.1, where you can make your apps talk. In Windows 8.1, we support 16 different languages, including English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, Chinese, Japanese, Polish, etc. And Sriram can tell you lots more about the text-to-speech APIs. Let's see what's next. We're going to leave Sphero here just to be safe. So John, what I'd like now is to figure out whose sunglasses these are.
You know, I saw some dude, right? He was here like earlier, he's wearing these things, right? If only we had like a picture of this guy, right, and his contact information, it'd be super easy, right, to go off and find him.
Yep.
So let me show you what we've done inside of our app. So coming out to the app, as we scroll over to the right, what you'll see here is that we've got, you know, some of our favorite customers, right, inside of this. So it looks like that looks like Cody that was here before, right? So if I tap on Cody, what you're going to see is this brand new API UI that we have inside of Windows 8.1. This is, oh, now he's doing his thing.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Push him that way.
Here, put him on the floor. Now he's getting all excited. So we've got Cody here, and with his contact card up, you can now go off and tap on this thing, and we can complete an action like sending an email to Cody directly from the app. And when we're done doing this, we can go off and swipe to dismiss that and bring it back over. All right, so it's super simple for us to go off and do this. Let's take a look at how we implemented this.
Okay.
So we scroll down here. What you'll see is the key thing that is of interest is what happens when we click on the list view item that contained the person's picture. Right, so when we do that, there's a few things that we do here. Again, we go off, we look up the customer. Right, once we've got the customer, we call a little helper API. We represent customers as customer objects. There is a contact object that gets created inside of create contact from customer. And what this thing does, simply copies a few fields over, like the first name and the last name, as well as things like their picture. Right, so this is how we got the little picture of them showing up inside of the contact card. When we're done doing that, we'll step back. We're going to call the contactmanager.showContactCard API, and what that does is that thing pops up the new UI, right? The contact card UI itself. And then you'll notice here that all of the code inside of our application, it's now done, right? What the user chooses to do at that point in time is up to the user. If they want to send an email message, if they want to send an SMS, right, or even make a phone call to them, as long as they have an app installed that understands the protocol, right, we can go off and complete the action.
That's awesome. That was really easy for you, John. So what we just learned about is a new contacts API in Windows 8.1. This allows you to connect your app to people. We also have new calendar APIs that connects your app to events. You see, apps together are better than apps alone. And that is what we're supporting in Windows 8.1. Zainab and Jake will talk more about how to make your apps communicate with each other in ways that enhance your users' experience. Let's see what's next for us. John, we're engineers, but every once in a while, we gotta surface from our code and think about the marketing. Now that we've have some photos of our customers, I want those to play in a slideshow.
I think we can do that, right? We can just display them and have them kind of project and stuff so that people can see, you know, lots of people having fun, right? This is this is all about the brand. Okay, let's go off and do that. So you can see here, if I swipe up here, I can go off and start playing a slideshow. And go to the right here, you can see momentarily we're going to have a bunch of photos start appearing and playing inside of our carousel.
There's Ben, got it.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that all you wanted? That's a pretty easy request.
Okay, you're right. What I really want, John, is a customer out there in the world. I want him or her to be able to take a picture and for us to see it in the slideshow so we know when our customers are happy.
Got it. Do you know what we need for that?
What do we need?
We need a cloud.
Okay. We have Azure.
Yeah, we do. And one of the cool things that we've done, right, inside of this release is we've now integrated Azure Mobile Services directly into Visual Studio. Right, so let's see this all kind of play out in action. What we have here is we've got an app over here already running on this other surface, and what it is it just takes a picture. It takes a picture and it shoots it up into Azure. It writes the picture into an Azure Blob Store. At the same time, what it does once it's done is it sends a notification message that says, "Hey, right, let's notify all of the clients of this app that have been registered." To receive a push notification about the presence of this photo, send the URI down to all the guys, and then we'll see our picture appear.
All right, so let me take a picture here and see if your code works.
Okay. There we go. So as I was thinking, it's going through literally trillions of dollars of telecommunications infrastructure to data centers all over the world
to deliver
Nina's picture up on the big screen up ahead. Isn't that cool? That's cool, right? Mm-hmm. Come on, you guys are a tough crowd. All right, so let's take a look at the things that we had to do in order to enable this, this scenario. So we come back to here. One of the really neat things that we have inside of Windows 8.1 in Visual Studio is I can now right-click and go Add, and you can notice here I can add a push notification service there. All right, so this will go off and launch a wizard. We're not going to go through the steps of this wizard because we've already pre-configured the app for you. But this thing will handle all of the nitty-gritty details of associating your Windows Store developer account, which is needed, right, in order for you to start pushing push notifications back down to the client, as well as matching it up with your Azure Mobile Services account as well. Right, because the way this works is that Azure Mobile Services acts as a proxy between your application and Windows Notification Services. Right, so all the interactions happen through there. So let's kind of see what happens inside of the code to make that happen. So what your app has to do at the beginning is it needs to register to receive these push notifications, right? So first step that we have to do is construct a channel. You can think about a channel as being this communications channel between Windows Notification Services and your application, right? So the app says, "Hey, here's my channel," right? And all it has to do is call this function up here. It writes an entry into the channels table inside of Azure Mobile Services. And inside of the channels table, what we have is we have a mechanism whereby, hold on a second, let's bring up, actually this is not going to work right now. If I insert a new record into the channels, we have some code up there that says, "Hey, okay, we've registered this thing into the channel." And when this app takes the picture, it iterates over all of the channels, right? Or you can use the broadcast service that Azure Mobile Services has as well. To go off and send or push notifications. Right, so all we have to do in our app here is register to receive, right? So create my channel, register to receive, and then hook up my event handler at the end. Right, so the event handler is hooked up here, handle push notification, and then if I go to the end here, it's F12, let's go down here, you'll see that I have like the full URI, so these are where all the pictures come from this session. If you go look there, you can see all of our fun photos that we took while testing. And we go a little bit further, what you'll see is this is the event handler that gets called when the push notification message arrives down on the client. First thing we want to do is suppress the toast because we're going to handle this programmatically and just inject it into the photo. And inside of the body of the toast, the push notification message, I have the URI of the photo. So I combine it with the big URI up above, and I add the new URI to my slideshow, right? So again, remember we're called on a worker thread, marshal the call back to the UI thread, push it in there, we're gonna get our photo showing up.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome,
pretty
John.
Simple.
Thanks. So John just showed us Azure Mobile Services integrated with his app. We've made this really easy for you in Windows 8.1 because we've integrated it with Visual Studio 2013. It's not just relevant for live tiles and toast notifications, which we've already shown you, but even things like making your games more social with leaderboards. If you want to hear more about Azure, you can go to tomorrow's keynote, as well as Nick Harris's talk on building connected Windows 8.1 apps with mobile services. Let's see what's next for our lemonade stand. John, that's great. But remember, the slideshow is for marketing. I want a big screen that I can show at the front of my storefront and show all the happy customers.
Where am I going to get a big screen from?
John, I've always got a present for you.
Ooh.
So here we have your big screen. And what I want you to do is take those pictures and put them on here.
But how? I don't have a wire that goes to the monitor.
You don't need a wire.
Pretty far away.
I also got you an Xbox, so you can make this happen with Play 2.
Oh, that's awesome. So let's go off and run our app again. Let's bring up our slideshow. We'll start the slideshow up here. And go over here. And as our photos start playing, what I want to do is I want to take the image element that we have playing our photos and push them over to the Xbox. So some of you guys have seen this already in Windows 8.1. What I'm going to show you now is our new experience that we have for sharing to other devices. So you see that the device charm is a little bit more organized than it was before. There's different categories there now. Right? So your users are going to be able to find the devices more easily. So if I click on play here, holy cow, Nina bought me two Xbox 360s. Right? So let's tap on this guy here, which is Harry, and there we go. We're seeing some photos showing up on the big box.
Nice
right,
job.
So super simple. So let's take a look at the code that we had to write in order to make that happen. As it turns out, this is probably the simplest pieces of code that you can write. In our app startup, we're going to call this initialized Play2 manager thing, where we're going to get the Play2 manager for the current view, and we're going to say, hey, when the user changes the Play2 source, fire an event and call my event handler. Inside of my event handler, what I do is, again, right, since we're being called on a worker thread again, we need to go off and marshal the call back to the UI thread and say, let's walk up to that image element. So the slideshow image, this is the object that is displaying all of our pictures. Grab his Play2 source and assign it to the new output. And that's it, right? That's like five lines of code to go off and implement this functionality in your app.
That was the simplest thing you've shown us this whole time. That's awesome, John. So we just learned about the new Play2 features in Windows 8.1. We've now made it easier for users to see what they can do with Play2. Playing, printing, projecting, and if you have NFC on your device, we also show you tap and send. But that's not the only new thing in the media space. One of my favorite features are the new media transport controls. What these do is allow you to play, pause, or seek a song within your app UI, your system UI, or the hardware buttons. This doesn't mean anything to you. Imagine this. You're sitting on your couch, you're playing music off of your tablet onto your home audio system. Then you realize you really don't like the song. You can just, from your lock screen, press next, and it will change on your Play2 device with the new media transport controls. Remember, there's a lot more in Windows 8.1 that's new besides the stuff we were going to cover in this talk. Gabe's giving a talk right now on the new media stuff, and Mehmet will give another talk as well. So please go to their talks for all of our new media APIs.
Great. Can we switch back to the Surface Pro? Yep, there we go. So in this talk, we've done our 9 acts. 8 of the 9 actually worked. We showed you a whole raft of different APIs. Right? We spent a bunch of time looking at the hub control. We saw some of the performance improvements that we have there with the lazy loading initialization that we have inside of that. We showed you the multiple view stuff inside of the thing. So we can now take a single application projecting multiple views. So this could be like a PowerPoint-like application, or it could be a document-based application where you want to have two documents displayed side by side. We can do all of those things using the multiple view APIs. We have the improved web view inside of XAML as well, right? So we can now composite nicely with everything else and mix both HTML and XAML together inside of a single application. We saw our point of service APIs, both the barcode reader, the credit card Stripe reader that we showed you, as well as the barcode reader. We had a bunch of fun with lights and remote controls and that kind of stuff, right? Those Hue lights are fabulous. And we also looked at Bluetooth, right? Bluetooth's really exciting because there's lots of devices out there. If you walk into Best Buy these days, there's an entire aisle dedicated to effectively fitness Bluetooth devices, right? You can now start programming all of those things from within Windows 8.1. We saw the new contacts-based API that we have as well. So being able to complete actions using contacts as the hub inside of your application is another really powerful feature that, as we saw, is really only a couple of lines of code to create a contact object and pass it to the contact card manager. And we saw how relatively straightforward it was, really, to integrate Azure Mobile Services and push notifications into your app, register your app for notifications, and receive events from your backing service. And then finally, we saw some of the new improvements in the Play 2 experience, where we can kind of take code that we have up there and project it and play it over on the Xbox. So just to remind you, we only talked about the orange stuff inside of this talk. There's lots and lots and lots of other things that you can go see inside of the rest of Build. So I really strongly advise you to take a look at our slides and the references to other talks that you have, or whatever tickles your fancy and interest as well. So at the beginning of this talk, we kind of started off by having, hey, you know, it's all about home, it's all about where we came from. At the end, what I thought would be kind of fun to close off this talk with is there's lots and lots of us who would really desperately want to come down to this to kind of be here, be with you, and I'll talk to you guys about the apps that you're creating. But they're all kind of sitting back at home.
So right? Our friends in Redmond want to say hi. Let's take a look at Skype.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, guys. So this is the Windows Developer Experience team, not the entire team. They would not fit inside that conference room, but just as whoever we could round up in the hallways. Say hi to the folks out in Build.
Let me turn the camera around so you can.
And so they can see you guys, right, because they're having a hard time seeing. Okay. Wave. Woo-hoo. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
now get
everyone.
Back to work. All right. Thank you very much for coming. This has been our honor and our pleasure to kind of present the work of all of those folks and many other folks that aren't here today to you guys. We're really excited to see the applications that you guys are going to be showing us. Feel free to kind of grab us at any point inside of at the show so that we can come talk to you guys. This is when we get out and talk to customers. So thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.